Gold in the Sky by Alan Norse. Part 1. You'll meet Greg Hunter, test pilot, happy only when his life hung in the balance. Tom Hunter, a pioneer, his frontier was hidden in test tubes. Johnny Coombs, a prospector, he returned from the asteroids too soon. Merrill Tawney, an industrialist, he sought plunder even beyond the stars. Major Brierton, a government man, his creed was law and order. They fought with whatever was handy, not bothering to figure the odds. The sun was glowing dull red as it slipped down behind the curving horizon of Mars, but Gregory Hunter was not able to see it. There was no view screen in the ship's cabin. It was too tiny for that. Greg twisted around in the cockpit that had been built just big enough to hold him, and shifted his long legs against the brace webbing, trying to get them comfortable. He knew that he was afraid, but nobody else knew that, not even the captain waiting at the control board on the satellite, and in spite of the fear, Greg Hunter would not have traded places at this moment with anyone else in the universe. He had worked too hard and waited too long for this moment. He heard the countdown monitor clicking in his ears, and his hands clenched into fists. How far from Mars would he be 10 minutes from now? He didn't know. Farther than any man had ever traveled before in the space of 10 minutes, he knew, and faster. How far and how fast would depend on him alone. All set, Greg? It was the captain's voice on the earphones. All set, Captain. You understand the program? Greg nodded. 24 hours out, 24 hours back. 90 degrees to the ecliptic, and all the acceleration I can stand both ways. Greg grinned to himself. He thought of the months of conditioning he had gone through to prepare for this run, the hours in the centrifuge to build up his tolerance to acceleration, the careful diet, the rigorous hours of physical conditioning. It was only one experiment, one tiny step in the work that would someday give men the stars, but to Gregory Hunter, this moment was everything. Good luck, then, the captain cut off, and the blast-off buzzer sounded. He was off. His heart hammered in his throat, and his eyes ached fiercely, but he paid no attention. His finger crept to the airspeed indicator, then to the cutoff switch. When the pressure became too great, when he began to black out, he would press it. But not yet. It was speed they wanted. They had to know how much acceleration a man could take for how long and still survive, and now it was up to him to show them. Fleetingly, he thought of Tom. Poor old stick-in-the-mud Tom, working away in his grubby little Mars-bound laboratory watching bacteria grow. Tom could never have qualified for a job like this. Tom couldn't even go into free fall for 10 minutes without getting sick all over the place. Greg felt a surge of pity for his brother, and then a twinge of malicious anticipation. Wait until Tom heard the reports on this run. It was all right to spend your time poking around with bottles and test tubes if you couldn't do anything else. But it took something special to pilot an XP ship for Project Starjump. And after this run was over, even Tom would have to admit it. There was a lurch, and quite suddenly the enormous pressure was gone. Something was wrong. He hadn't pushed the cutoff button. Yet, the ship's engines were suddenly silent. He jabbed at the power switch. Nothing happened. Then the side jet sputted, and he was slammed sideways into the cot. He snapped on the radio speaker. Control, can you hear me? Something's gone wrong out here. Nothing's wrong, the captain's voice said in his earphones. Just sit tight. I'm bringing you back in. There's a call here from Sun Lake City. They want you down there in a hurry. We'll have to scratch you on this run. Who wants me down there? The UN Council office, signed by Major Brierton himself, and I can't argue with the Major. We're bringing you in. Greg Hunter sank back, disappointment so thick he could taste it in his mouth. Sun Lake City. That meant 2 days at least, one down, one back, maybe more if connections weren't right. It meant that the captain would send Morton or one of the others out in his place. It meant, suddenly he thought of what else it meant, and a chill ran up his back. There was only one reason Major Brierton would call him in like this. Something had happened to Dad. Suddenly tense, as a thousand frightful possibilities flooded his mind. It could only mean that Dad was in some kind of trouble. And if anything happened to Dad... The sun was sinking rapidly toward the horizon when the city finally came into sight in the distance. But try as he would, Tom Hunter could not urge more than 35 miles an hour from the huge lurching vehicle.